Remote viewing. Up next, Doom is with us. Major Ed Dames. We're going to talk about remote viewing and some of the things he sees on Coast to Coast AM. Well, they call him Dr. Doom, but he's a pretty nice guy. Major Ed Dames, the world's foremost remote viewing teacher. He is a decorated military intelligence officer and an original member of the U.S. Army Prototype Remote Viewing Program. He conducts remote viewing courses as well and heads up the Matrix Intelligence Agency, which is a private consultancy group. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Major Ed Dames. Ed, how are you?
I'm gloomy, George. How about yourself?
Well, I'm not gloomy, but I probably will be after I listen to you.
You probably will be.
You know what's new? How many times have you been on the show since the art days?
Oh, I...
They got to be way, way up there.
Yeah, it's been 15 years, George.
Oh, my gosh. And where are you? Still spending time here and in the Ukraine?
Yes, I'm bouncing all over the place. Next week, I'll be in Germany. I'm a keynote speaker at a big UFO conference. And one of the first things I'll announce to them is to get ready to welcome back the Deutschmark.
It's coming, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
They're going to break from the European Union?
They'll be the first, yes.
And then they all fall by the wayside?
They will not. The rest will not necessarily fall by the wayside, but they'll have to regroup, and that regrouping it'll be a mini house of cards, not the big one, and it won't last too much longer. The European Union is on faulty ground, as you know.
Now, is this a prediction from someone who's in the know, Ed, or is this a prediction from Ed Dames, the remote viewer?
It's Ed Dames, remote viewer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's difficult sometimes to be the bearer of bad news. You know, I used to do corporate contracts, and many corporations, I did one for Bechtel. They wanted to extract oxygen from lunar rock to use the moon. This is an extension of your last hour's guest. Bechtel wanted to use lunar rock, extract oxygen from lunar rock, and use the moon as a jump-off point to Mars, because as your guest said, Mr. Lamont, that it's far cheaper to not have to fight gravity with all that.
That's right.
To use the moon as a base of operations. And sometimes when you come back to a client and you say, well, somebody else is going to do this, they're not happy. Don't shoot the messenger.
Ed, I get the constant emails from people who want you on. I get emails from people who want me to jump all over you. And I'm sure you get the same thing. What's going on these days with the kill shot?
Well, I've got your webmaster Lex tonight, Lone Hood, posted a graphic, this interesting graphic. It's a gift, a small little video that of a coronal mass ejection, a very, very impressive one, a full halo, CME, from the backside of the sun that happened about 60 hours ago on the 4th of this month. And if you look at that, it's directed toward Mercury at the time. It's directed toward Mercury, so Mercury will feel the effects. That active region is going to be looking right down our throats in about 3 days, 4 days, and it will stay on the lit side, this side of the sun, for a while, a week and a half or so. And if it does anything like it did on the 4th, well, all I can say is that our star is waking up. And by the way, I listened to you earlier, first hour, and it's true that the mass from, as Mitch said, the mass from the sun takes anywhere, depending on its ejection velocity, from 48 to 72 hours to impinge upon. But the X-rays, George, are at the speed of light, so that's 8 minutes. And those X-rays can cause a lot of damage to the electronics and satellites.
And how about to us as people?
Well, the ozone layer generally stops a lot of that, and the atmosphere generally stops it. The ozone layer is thinning. Everything is changing geophysically, so we're in for, you know, Mr. Toad's wild ride here in this next decade.
Well, explain the kill shot to us, Ed. I mean, it was tied into the shuttle, the last launch. It's kind of confusing, but let's talk about that. And, you know, I know as a remote viewer, it's difficult to pick dates. One of the reasons why you back off a lot of that now on dates, but you still see episodes and things. What did you see with the kill shot? Because, you know, there could be similarities here with the sun starting to wake up.
Well, there, in our minds, as professional remote viewers, we're looking directly at the event, looking allegorically, because the work that we do is very structured and analytical, and there are very few visuals. It's all mostly diagrams, but there are visuals that pop in. We've been looking at this event now for 20 years, this huge event that I called at first the discontinuity, because it is a discontinuity in the chain of human cultural evolution on this planet. It's the biggest thing that we could pick up in terms of the future, trying to save lives and protect people. And that was the original motive here. What is this thing? So what we saw was a series of extremely big, large coronal mass ejections from our sun. This prediction has been around quite a while from Major Doom. And right now, the feeling is that it's this particular solar cycle that is going to result in those CMEs. So we're not talking about one kill shot, one big CME. We're talking about a series that's going to turn Earth into a rotisserie, to use an allegory.
And are we in that time period now?
I firmly believe that we are, George.
Is that why you're...
In fact, I'm taking precautions now to move myself and my family to set up, I do this for clients as well, sanctuary locations on the planet that are out of kill zones and other areas where they're not safe.
Well, if we're lucky, it will get glanced. If we're not, we could be in trouble.
There'll be so many, George. There'll be so many that's coming at us over periods of time.
Then we can't hide from them.
No. Otherwise, we would not, as remote viewers, have been able to see the event. If the event didn't exist in time, we wouldn't be able to pick it up. But it's already there in the future. It already exists. It's crosstalk right through time. Mind, unconscious, is outside of time. In fact, there's only one mind. And that has no linear time as we know it.
Is that why you're gloomy?
I'm actually... It isn't just that. It's
everything.
Our country, George.
It's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's particularly our country. It's the end of a good thing.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the European Union, Ed, because that affects us here. A lot of people don't understand that or want to grasp that, but it does. So we've got all these countries that got together years ago and said, you know what, we need a different currency and we need to be together. Why did they do this in the first place?
Well, there's a grand scheme, a grand plan of a united Europe, just like the United States.
Right.
But you've got all these cultures that want to be autonomous and will be once again. And that autonomy can't go away. It isn't like the United States, or our union, our one-at-one-time perfect union. So that's the key problem right there. Now the folks that wanted to do that, the European Union is almost synonymous with the euro. So you get the picture. We're talking about bankers. Bankers put this plan together, but it was a faulty plan. And I don't think the bankers, in fact, I firmly believe that the progenitors of this grand scheme did not realize how hard that this plan would fall and fail. It can't be propped up.
The headlines read, the economy's collapsing globally. It's the worst it's ever been. What's happening? Why has everything just fallen apart?
Derivatives, leverage, the idea of fiat currency.
It caught everybody, didn't it?
Yeah, it even caught the big guys, too. But we're all going to pay it, and are paying now a heavy price. You're going to see unemployment in the U.S. up to 40% in a year and a half.
That's unacceptable. 10% is unacceptable.
40% is going to be martial law, and this is going to be a police state in this country, and martial law will be declared. I'm even wondering if there will be another presidential election.
Well, no wonder they call you Dr. Doom.
Roger.
Well, you do not see an election in 2012?
We haven't looked at it, but it's my perception that the way things are going, what we are seeing is almost too scary to report. I'll just give you a hint, because I really don't want to go into this on the air.
Why not?
It'll get us both in trouble. These FEMA camps are real, George. They're real.
Well, I know they're real. I know they're real. I know they've been buying.
Right now they're sitting empty. So
they've been buying body bags. They've been doing all kinds of
bags, caskets. That's right. You know, we can see the orders and the receipts. So there's a plan here afoot. A martial law will be declared. This will be a police state. Our country is afraid of its citizens.
Well, they should be.
And they're going to do something about it. They, meaning the 1% up there, are going to do something about it. And that those plans have been afoot for a long time.
Even though, as we both know, Ed, the citizens are the ones who are right.
Doesn't make any difference. Right now, we don't have the power, George. We're not empowered.
All right. Let's look at this what you just said about Germany and switching back to its original currency.
Mm-hmm.
That would, as far as I'm concerned, be a telltale sign of Ed Dame's remote viewing ability. If that pops, and you assume this is going to be soon, you're going to make this announcement.
Oh, I'm going to tell my, I have 350 people waiting for me, and I'm going to surprise them with this, yes. It was interesting. My mentor 40 years ago was invited to speak in Berlin, West Berlin at the time. And they asked him to spontaneous, because Ingo Swann, the father of remote viewing, was also a psychic. I'm a remote viewer. He was a psychic.
Yeah, he was good.
We can do things that he could never do because he invented this, and we had to develop it and evolve it. But all the people that were listening to him speak as one of the West's greatest psychics said, make a prediction, tell us something. And Ingo was caught completely by surprise. And I have a photo of him actually doing this, saying this, speaking to the German people. He said, the wall's going to come down in 6 months. And it was shocked silence in the crowd because everybody thought, as well as all of us in the Cold War, that the wall would be a forever thing,
sure,
a fixture forever. And then there was a great applause. Sure enough, in June, it came down four months later. So I have to go there and do a similar thing, although I've had time to prepare and say, this is going to be a difficult thing for everybody involved, but, you know, get ready to re-welcome the Deutschmark.
Well, when you remote view this, what do you see? Do you see the Deutschmark in Germany? Is that what you picture? I mean, how do you know this is what it is?
I actually sketch the face of the currency in the future, and we have to set this up very rigorously, very, very carefully. Remote viewing is a three-part process. The skill itself is the second part. The data analysis is the third part. But setting the problem up, it must be done correctly. And then the analysis part is very easy in this case here, because I'm sketching the face of a German currency and not the euro.
We always want to ask you when. So with this, when could it happen? Sooner than later?
I can only guess, because, we don't have that parallel.
I mean, that's where the inaccuracy comes in, right? The dates?
Right. We've solved the location problem. In fact, I was your listeners might know that I volunteered to go help out on this Patrick Carnes case, a missing driver in Nevada. So I'll be able to pinpoint that man's body and go out and help the undersheriff, who I've already talked to in person. I was out there on a recon to find them. So we've solved the location problem after 30 years, but we still, this time problem is still our bugbear. Again, if we can perceive an event up ahead, it already exists in time. But like that distant mountain that we can see, the biggest mountain out there or the biggest tree in the forest, we can see it, but we can't adjudge the distance to it in
right.
time.
Unless you see something that would give you the date, a newspaper with a date on it or something, is that possible?
It's not possible for remote viewers, George, but it is for psychics. Sometimes psychics spontaneously can see a newspaper date or something like that, but remote viewers, that kind of operating modality is forbidden for us. We're not allowed to do it.
All right. So when you were talking about the kill shot and everybody thought it's coming, last shuttle. What if we launch something that is similar to a shuttle? As a remote viewer, I can't expect you to get every detail down to, you know, to an inch. What if you were looking at something like that, you know, another space launch? So maybe the program's not really over yet.
Well, what we're thinking is that our sketches show a shuttle-like craft being caught up in a meteor shower or something like that. And now, as you see, the Air Force has replacements for the shuttle, and foreign countries even have similar looking vehicles. So we don't know which one it is. We don't have that. We never focused on that degree of detail in the past. But we can do what you are saying. What we do is we can take, let's say, the first catastrophic coronal mass ejection, and we can lock onto that as remote viewers, and then back up and look at the nearest preceding recognizable event. Could be a kite festival in Japan or something like that. That's about all that we can do in terms of temporal location.
Okay, they're talking about possibly evacuating the International Space Station in November because of the Russian rocket problems as well, too. Could that be part of it?
I'm not sure, but we do know as a little, way back when we looked at the International Space Station, and we saw that it is going to have a controlled dip into the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
They're going to bring it down, yeah, later.
All right. You had talked about in March with me about the possibility of another major, major earthquake. This came a few days after the Japanese one, so it wasn't that one that you were thinking about. And you thought, you know, the New Madrid area, St. Louis, Missouri, thanks, Ed, by the way, for that, could be hit very, very hard. Do you still see that?
Yes. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. Again, the location, it was qualified with also loss of life, and that location's not going to change. That is a very, very serious condition.
Okay, so in terms of a barometer of things, you see Germany pulling out of the European Union, going back to its original currency.
Wait. I didn't say it would pull out of the European Union.
All right.
I said the Deutschmark would come back. Germany can still remain in the European Union, but and things will be chaotic. But there's still the motor that drives the rest of Europe.
It's the money. Why, if they're pulling out, if they're going to their own currency, why be part of the European Union?
Well, I don't know what they'll do, but they still are surrounded by their neighbors, and they still have to work with their neighbors. So I did not say they're pulling out of the union. That I don't know.
All right. Who's going first? The European global collapse there or here or all of it?
Them first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a barometer there.
Roger.
If they go, is it a slam dunk deal that we're going next?
Oh, I would guess, and based upon my work, that we have about 2 years left before... martial law.
2 years.
That's my guess. Mm-hmm.
Martial law. In this country.
Right, because of natural disasters plus economic disasters. It's been almost fully 15 years now, 16 years that I've said there's going to be a global economic collapse. Everybody laughed. And the gold is going to reach $2,000 an ounce. I said that when it was $230. Everybody laughed. Nobody's laughing anymore.
Do you miss events sometimes? Because I didn't hear you tell us anything about Fukushima.
I told Art Bell. In fact, that is a YouTube broadcast of me specifically saying that.
That's way before my time. What did you say?
Oh, I said that in 2003, I did a lot of work in Japan, missing children and some mafia things. But they came back to me when I lived in Hawaii and said, look, we're really worried about... earthquake in Tokyo, the next big one. We're calling it X Day. Can you remote view the next big one and tell us what will happen to Tokyo? So there, TV Asahi, and you can see me do this. If you go to learnrv.com, these videos are up there. You can actually see me remote viewing for the Japanese in 2003, X Day in Japan, the next big one. When I sketched some subway tubes being broken, some water in the city, some facades and old buildings coming down. And I told the Japanese, nope, looks like your city's okay, but here's the bad news. A nuclear reactor is going to break, and it will be a mini Chernobyl or more, and it will kill tens of thousands of people. I said that to them. They said, Ed, we can't put this on TV.
I'm going to talk more with you on that, Ed, when we come right back. Hey, Tuesday is the rollout of our book, Talking to the Dead. And the publisher's really excited about it, so it'll be in the major bookstores. But Amazon.com is taking some orders right now, and they've discounted this down to $14 and change. So if you're interested, you can go to Amazon.com, click in, type talking to the dead up there when you type it in there, and it'll take you straight to that link. And have some fun reading it. Rosemary Ellen Guiley did an incredible job on her part doing the legwork and research for this. It's an incredible series of stories of talking to the dead. We'll be back in a moment with Major Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM. Ed, I met your co-author Joel Newman. Your book, of course, Tell Me What You See at the Conscious Life Expo.
And, oh, wonderful.
Good guy. Good guy. Hard worker, too.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to the Fukushima situation. So you're telling the Japanese, hey, you know, we've got this catastrophe that's going to confront you. They didn't want to hear that, did they?
Oh, no, of course. It would have been irresponsible. Even I felt they could never, they would not be able to put that into the paper. But I want to talk more about that momentarily. However, 3 months later on a Coast to Coast show, I laid it on the line with your predecessor. And said, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a mini Chernobyl or worse, and tens of thousands of people are going to die. Right now, Japanese children are having thyroid problems. So, and you know I live close to a Chernobyl in Ukraine. I don't
That's
live
right.
far away. So I'm pretty familiar with what went down there and what's still happening. But just as the newspaper, the media would not say anything, right now the government, there's no way they're going to tell the people what the reality of the situation is there in northern Japan. The reality is that they face not only a no man's land, but the next generation of northern Japanese people are going to go and look at some of the mutations.
That is the crime there, because they are not telling the truth.
But again, sometimes I put myself in the position of the Japanese government and say, okay, I know this, we know this, what do we do about it? In fact, there really isn't anything to do about it unless you evacuate all of northern Japan and send them to the South Island and other places.
And they can't do that, can they?
They can't. So they're stuck. Yeah. They're stuck. And at the same time, I don't think that they should be lying or deceiving. But every government does, almost.
These are tragedies, Ed, of biblical proportions.
It's interesting that when we use search terms, everything exists as a pattern of information. Words, word ideas, English word ideas, or any language, it gets translated in unconscious into a pattern. When we use the idea of disaster, like the next disaster in, let's say, North America or Utah, then we can get things like earthquakes or a tornado or a hurricane. You can actually see examples of this on our website where my students do this, and you can see how it's done. But when we use the word catastrophe, next global catastrophe, for mm-hmm. instance, in every single case, empirically, it's radiation, nuclear radiation, a broken pipe in a reactor somewhere, you know, a Chernobyl somewhere else. So that word catastrophe is interpreted very, very differently by the global mind than disaster.
Let me ask you about terrorism for a moment, Ed. What do you see on the horizon?
I'm only monitoring nuclear terrorists. That's it. No other. I don't have time for any other thing. Only the sum of all fears type of work, George. That's all.
Well, that's the mama of tragedy, to be sure. Do you see anything with that?
I don't know how I could possibly say this on the air. I see, unfortunately, two things happening. I see an attempt by wealthy countries who say they are friends but hate us, but they have a lot of money. And I see people like the Russian mafia who have the
wherewithal.
Yeah, the wherewithal and the stuff coming together. And then I also see a possible false flag operation. And then I also see the one thing that really concerns me is that the Israeli nation, the Israelis, will be surrounded to the point where they might actually blackmail the rest of the world with a doomsday weapon or a doomsday attack or launch all their all the nukes that they don't have, right? That's the worst case scenario that I'm seeing right now, that they'll reach a point where they are desperate.
Well, Assad in Syria has said if NATO attacks, he's launching thousands of missiles into Israel. And that could be, to me, the beginning of a World War III, unless it's a quick way to get rid of him.
Armageddon, in biblical terms, is in the Middle East. The apocalypse is global in terms of biblical prophecy, but Armageddon is the whole world was the Mideast, you know, in terms of writing and biblical.
Do you see Armageddon?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I do.
Well.
But I see it being interrupted to a certain degree by the kill shot. Everybody remember on their show, and for over the years, I've said the point is reached where all these warring parties in the Mideast and in Africa, they all, everybody looks up at the sky, and they all disperse back home. Because whatever is happening in the sky eclipses any of their other priorities, and they need to skedaddle back home and take care of their families and themselves, because the thing that's happening in the sky is far bigger than their little wars or their big wars.
If you see a coronal mass ejection hit the planet, X flare, knocking out the power grids for months, would you say that was the beginning of the kill shot?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we will have to monitor that.
And all of this information, RV Products, my business partners have arm twisted me into producing a very, very nice DVD and Blu-ray disc called The Kill Shot, and they're going to market that. But I told them I'm not going to do this unless you give this away to Coast listeners, because they're the ones. These are my fans. People have been listening to me for a long time, asking questions, and they deserve this. So they agreed to do that, and we set up a website, thekillshot.com. If your listeners want this, it's on my nickel, and they can have it for free.
Good for you. Thank you, by the way, for that.
It's my pleasure. I don't know how much longer we're going to be on together either.
Ed, you are so doom and gloom. You scare the heck out of me.
It's not scary so much as sad, George. It's just sad. It's really sad. Humans are such wonderful beings. We're such incredible creatures. Yeah.
Don't you want to see something good and grand and just fun?
Well, I see that all the time in people. I see this all the time in people. It's kind of like the Steve Jobs' death is really a symbolic in my mind for the end of America.
Creativeness.
Yeah, I just see it as symbolic, as the end of my country. As we know it, corporations will still continue and all that, but we've been in the fast lane for 240 years or so, and the ride's over. We just screwed up. But, you know, everything has a beginning and an end. I've said this many times. Lives, nations, empires, corporations, they have a beginning and an end, and you just have to accept that.
Well, but aren't things fixable? You don't sound like this is fixable.
I stand by it. It's not fixable. We're never going to pay back the debt. 20 years ago, I could see that the unthinkable happening, and I used those words, and I said, the U.S. is going to default. And that was 20 years ago. I saw that coming. And it's here. We can't pay back. There's no way we can pay back that debt. And the rest of the world knows it, and nobody's kidding anybody. It's just the people in the streets. They don't have the big picture because they're trying to work. They're trying to get a job. And they're not like you and I. We have access to lots of sources of information. We have lots of experience. And we see what's happening. And there's no need for us to kid ourselves.
I've seen people working in an office, Ed, and they have, let's say, stacks of paper to work on. And what they do is they'll take this, you know, it's coming up on Friday. They don't want to work. They want to go home for the weekend. So they put the stack under another stack and they move on. I think that's what we've been doing in this country, on this planet, for so many years. The stack has been piling up, and it's been Friday, and they just pick it, and they shove it along, hoping to think about it on Monday or Tuesday. And I think it caught up with us.
It is about, the hammer is about to drop. The hammer is about to fall, and it's going to be anvil, wait. We're in big trouble. We are in big, big trouble as a nation. And but there's some birth throes as well as death throes happening here too. There's going to be realignments of nations. I think you better watch China and Russia. Watch that alignment happen, and it's going to happen too. And the U.S. people are tired.
Well, this sounds like the Book of Revelation. You know that.
Well, prophets they could see true. So if you, these events are very big, and it doesn't matter how long, if a very big event. It pops up. Mind is outside of time. So they're just looking ahead. They could see this. But, of course, they couldn't not adjudge the time, just like we can't.
I talked a lot last night about reincarnation on the show. Do you ever look at that? Can you remote view things like that?
I listened to your show last night. I was enthralled with your guest. Absolutely enthralled.
Paul Von Ward.
Went to his website. I am going to, if I have any time at all, I'm going to digest and try to absorb some of that thing there. But I do, yes, in terms of esoteric things, I could say a lot. The reincarnation, in terms of transpersonal psychology, and the buzzword is continuity of consciousness, where do we go, this kind of esoteria. Yes, remote viewers have looked at reincarnation, and my hypothesis, my working hypothesis, is different than, is it Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Yeah. My hypothesis vis-a-vis human reincarnation or reincarnation in general is different. When we studied this, and I'll make a long story short, it's and I've done it with myself too. I questioned myself, so I used my own tools to investigate myself. It's the people who think they're reincarnated, and they're downloading information from somebody else. The souls are different. The personalities, however, are almost mirror image. It's as if you think of an AM radio. You're in your truck, and you're driving down the highway as a trucker, and you're on, let's say, a fixed frequency 970, listening to Coast to Coast, and then you drift over the Missouri border or whatever, and now there's another station transmitting on 970 kilohertz, and you hear both stations at the same time. Well, both those stations, think of them as two different souls. Two different entities, and they are. They're two different locations, two different broadcasting systems, okay?
All right.
But now you hear them on the same channel at the same time. Well, that is analogous to what we found in terms of reincarnation. If I go back and I look at Ed Dames, you know, and in the past, or I set this problem up very, very systematically, of course, I can find one or two folks that, by God, they are just like me. They operate the same way. They think the same way. They do the same things. And they died in a way that I would probably have chosen to die as well, World War II or something else. But that is not me. They have different souls. They're different people. But their personalities, that pattern is almost identical, just like those two radio stations.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's how one of the ways I differ. And then the other way is just metaphysical, cosmological. I feel that the universe is the creator experiencing its creations.
This alliance between Russia and China and this potential nuclear problem that would be financed by a very rich country that is somewhat two-faced. You know, Paul Williams has said that he is convinced six cities in the United States will be marked for some kind of suitcase bomb. Six cities. The History Channel, Ed, has done an incredible documentary about what happens if a nuke goes off in Washington, D.C. Are you seeing a detonation?
No, sir.
You are not?
No. No. Do you want to know why?
Well, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. About three times since World War II, there would have been a nuclear war between Russia, Soviet Union, America.
Yeah.
But the finger was taken off the trigger. And can I give you a little background there?
Please.
All right. Let's start with this. The KH-9 satellite, are one of our surveillance satellites, a lot of the information on KH-9 has been declassified, and museums now have the photos and things like that. Well, what the museums don't have is the National Reconnaissance Office, which really didn't exist, I think, during KH-9 time period. We were taking photographs of glowing white spheres above Soviet and U.S. boomers. I think I told you that my future father-in-law was a navigation officer on the Soviet.
Right.
We've had great conversations. Anyway, those appeared in KH-9 coverage. And then when the KH-11 system went up, and there was a transition period where some KH-9s were still out there taking photographs, all of a sudden, all of the glowing white spheres never appeared anymore on KH-9 overhead. only on KH11. So something was screwing with us. But it gets better. The Trident missile system was such a good system and part of our Triad system in the U.S. that there were certain generals in our armed forces who suggested that once these Trident missiles, they work great on land, and once they're working well in U.S. boomers, we might consider, Mr. President, a first strike, because we'll never be in this position again, probably, to have such a dynamic, great offensive capability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the missiles wouldn't work in the submarines, because every time the Navy tried to launch one, it gets up to about 1,000 feet and things go all screwy, except they take pictures of something up there next to the missile.
Watching it, monitoring it?
Oh, well, just there, next to it, and coincident with these tests that fail. So at the time, I was operations and training officer of this top-secret Sci-Spy unit, and so here comes the Navy with this problem. Ed, can you, Captain Dames at the time, can you help us with this? What is this thing up here that always pops up when we have these? So we run this problem blind. Remote viewers don't know what the target is, as you know.
Right.
Okay. So all the Paul Smith and Mel Riley and all of us remote viewers, the best of the best, hit this. And what it is, it's like another one of those glowing white spheres purposely destroying the electronics in the missile, the navigation part.
Throwing it off course.
Right. It was just a piece of metal going up there. And we get the same thing with bunkers, in storage bunkers of weapons in the past, where the physical security of the bunker has not been violated. The locks are still there. But when technicians go in to check on all of the... I can't get into classified stuff. But when they get in to check on all of
the guts.
The mapping software that tells one missile to go to Kiev, another missile to Moscow, when our MIRVs flip these things off in the bus that carries them, all that was just neutralized. So something's able to penetrate somehow the bunkers, the submarines, and all that. Long story short, George, these guys up there, out there, know where every single warhead is in every inventory, and they are also in a position to stop the bad guys from doing what they want to do.
So you are convinced that ETs, let's be blunt, are monitoring, as we've had reports, and they will step in, they'll intervene if somebody launches or does something like that.
We believe that there will never be a nuclear slugfest, but that we have to have some accidents to be able to know what the responsibility or the consequences of our actions. But we've seen other things, too. We saw a secret Israeli-South African test of a nuclear weapon, because the Israelis have nowhere to test their weapons, right? So many years ago, they were in collusion with the South Africans, and they were testing off there, and we saw something pop off from the surface of Earth's moon, pop in, and suck up the radiation and turn it into something like electricity.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. We have sketches of this device or thing, whatever it is, a structure that did that, too.
Ed, I want to talk about some climate change and things that you might be seeing these days, and also find out what you've been doing these days with LearnRV.com with Ed Dames. And when do you go back to the Ukraine?
Well, hopefully early November. I'm very, yeah.
You looking forward to that?
Very much. I need a break. But...
You sound stressed.
Yeah, I am. Got a lot of work to do.
A lot on your shoulders?
Yes.
All right, well, stay with us, Ed Dames. We've got another hour to go with Ed, and we're going to continue talking about the things that he sees. And again, his website, learnrv.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back.